Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you and hear you out this morning at Father's Day. If you're with us in solid ground, then you're very welcome as well. Father's Day, lots of things around the windows. Please take time to have a wee look at them and just see the decorations. Thank you to all the men who have helped in any way with any of the windows. There's going to be a video later on, so all the men who are involved in the making and all the work in the video. For all the music and everything that's been done, I just want to say a big thank you. It's made it a really special morning down in Clockey. We trust that God will continue with us here in Grey Abbey this morning as we meet. Your announcement sheet has been made available. Have a wee look through it, please, and make sure you're not missing anything. Paddy has asked me just to remind you that cash for Clobber will be collected tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to 9. There'll be a trailer here, so bring all of your cash. No, your Clobber. Bring cash if you want. We take cash, Paddy, do we? We take cash as well. Bring any of your clobber, and a company takes that off us and gives us a donation, and then they use all of that. So, we have sort of brought together some men to form a men's ministry committee, and we have some plans for how we do men's ministry, the different ways that we engage with different men of different ages and different groups, and we've got a little sheet that we want to hand out to all the men on the way out. It explains what we do in men's ministry, how you can get involved. And there's a wee questionnaire on it here, so that if there's something that you would be interested in, please tick that. And then when you've got it ticked, just bring it back to church and give it to myself, or leave it in the minister's room, or give it to one of the elders, and they'll get it back to me, so that we can make sure that we are providing the ministry for the men, not what we think the men want. And there's a wee place down here for other suggestions, wise suggestions. Please. God willing, next Sunday we will meet for worship. We'll be back on our Holy Spirit series, and the title of that sermon, that service, is The Holy Spirit Convicts Us. And the Holy Spirit has been convicting us as a denomination. You know, we've been very heavily under conviction in the last couple of weeks, especially after the General Assembly and the decisions that the denomination have made. So next Sunday, I'm going to take this passage, and the illustrations that I'm going to bring to that will be a reflection of the General Assembly and the decisions that were actually made. I'm sure you've heard a lot on the radio, you've read a lot in the newspaper, which of course is written and for one reason, that's to sell newspapers. It's not always a representation of the truth. The two issues were our relationship with the Church of Scotland and church membership. What is a credible profession of faith? And unfortunately, or fortunately, wherever way you want to put it, both of those discussions involve same-sex relationships. And it's now out there that we are not welcome to people who are in a same-sex relationship. What I want to say just by way of announcement this morning is that the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and us as a congregation of it, have an open-door policy. Always have had, always will have. This is public worship. It's for anyone of any colour, creed, finances, no finances. Doesn't matter how you're dressed. We meet here to worship God, and there are absolutely no barriers to worshiping God. But we'll say more about it next week. We're here to worship God now. And I want to say thank you to all the men who will be up here. Noel's going to take more of the service than he normally does. A couple of folks are going to come up, read and pray for us later on in the service. And the men are going to minister to us with a song. So we just look forward to hearing what God has to say to us in our service today. I'm going to hand over to Noel.
Okay, hello. Good morning, folks. I'd just like to thank Neil very much. Since it's Father's Day, we're letting Neil have a bit of time to play the drums, because it is one of his loves in his life. I'm not sure where it just comes in the list, but I'm not even going to get in there, but it's one of them. My name's Noel. As Neil said, I'm a member of the session here in Grey Abbey, and as I say, I'll just be helping out a wee bit with the service. But as we sit in church here this morning, as I say, I've admired some of the windows around myself before the start of church. Just like to thank all the men that have done it. Just Neil has really thanked them, but it just makes us think of all the hobbies and jobs and work that people do. But it's a day like this, we sort of like to thank our Heavenly Father for giving us the opportunity to have all these things to enjoy, and also to put the breath in our lungs to be able to enjoy them. So just as we come to worship God this morning, I'd just like to read a wee bit from Psalm 68. Come, sing praises to God, rejoice in his presence, for he is our God, a father to the fatherless and the defender of all who need protection. The one in whom the lonely find a home and the prisoner finds release. Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation, who sustains and strengthens us day after day. Just with those words just in our minds and our thoughts, we'd just like to if we all just stand and sing and praise together as we sing our first praise bit this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. For giving us this new day that we can come together and give you the praise and honour you so rightly deserve. Thank you for removing the roadblock that was our sin to clear the righteous path into your kingdom, allowing us to talk to you at any time, day or night, safe in the knowledge that you are there for us and hearing and answering our prayers. Please help us, Lord, to hear your message this morning throughout the service through the praise, the Bible readings, the prayers, and as Neil speaks to us later. Sorry, Lord, for the times in the last week when we haven't listened to you and followed your will. Not followed our will, not your will. Please help us in this new week ahead to make the right choices for you, Lord, so as your name can be lifted high wherever we go during the week. Please help us, Lord, to allow your spirit to move into the darkest spots in our lives and remove that darkness. Help us, Lord, to live our lives for you, not only here on a Sunday, but every day as we go about our normal lives. May the people we meet daily see you in us and want to know more about you from what they see. on this special day that is Father's Day, may we be truly thankful for what our earthly fathers have done for us in our lives. Help those with us this morning who are hurting on this Father's Day. May they know of your presence in a very real way today. Please surround them with your comfort and love at this time. May this Father's Day be the day we remember what you have sacrificed for us, what you have given, so as we can have life and have it to the full. Never let us forget how your grace is so freely given. Our debts have been paid. The path has been cleared. All we need to do is just walk through the door. You have removed our flaws, and in your sight we're flawless, renewed, unblemished, clean. Please be with us and guide us as we ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're going to stand again, folks, and we're going to give praise again with Men of Faith.
Rise up and sing of a great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. True, stand and sing to broken hearts who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Through rain, we've been refined by the power of his name. We've fallen deeper in love with you. You've burned the truth in our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven. Church with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll find. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven.
Is now going to come and read for us. The reading is from John 8, 31 to 47. It's on page 1074. It's on the screen there. There you go. Okay, sir. Morning, everybody. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever.
So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am now here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, for that reading. Now, we're going to come to a piece which is a lot of preparation has gone into this next piece by some of the men in the praise group. Now, this they're going to come up and minister to us with a piece called Flawless. Now, I hadn't really heard of this much before now, but as I say, since it's, we've been doing it, it's written by a guy called Bart Miller from the group Mercy Me. Now, if you have YouTube or access to the internet, if you go on and have a look at it, it's really good. Now, we're not just going to do the whole scene here this morning, as you'll see, if you understand whenever you look at the YouTube clips. But really, there is going to be something running in the background as well, which just sort of adds to the whole message within the praise. The definition of flawless is without imperfections or defects, made perfect. And just looking into it, the thinking behind the song was we're all created individually flawed, but we're flawless in God's eyes. We think we have to be perfect to serve God, but God sent Jesus to be perfect for us. And the cross has made us perfect. You were made brand new because of the cross. We may not be perfect, but in God's eyes, we are flawless. So if you listen to the words, as I say, watch the film, you might recognize some of the people within the film. So just like to pass over to the guys here for their...
There's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong, cause we're taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless. Or how cross has made you flawless.
Could it possibly be? We simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. And that's exactly what he did.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless. Has made you flawless.
Take a breath and smile and say right here, right now, oh, I'm okay, because the cross was enough.
And like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats, saying it's too late.
Oh, let me introduce you to grace, grace,
God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made. Has made, the cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you've called his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless. No matter what they say, what you think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
Guys, I think that was super, really well done. It's and if you believe, like, none of those, there was no outtakes at all. They were all done first time. There was nothing, there's no cutting on the cutting floor, so there's not Scott. Just thank the guys there for the giving us the break, and also for Scott for putting that all together. Believe me, he was working quite late at it, I believe, a few nights, so getting it done. But that was great, and it will be available on online, I believe, too. Okay. okay. We're going to now have our children's praise. And after this, the kids will leave for K4C and creche. Father, I place in your hands the children's praise, keeping these guys busy this morning up and down.
Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go, for I know my eyes can't trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be, for I know I always can trust you. Father, we love to sing your praise, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise, and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you, and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you, for I know that I am one with you.
Usually by the time you're finished playing, it's just a wee injury waiting on. Today we're talking about God at work. This is the, the sign that we're going to use, the man at work sign. And we're going to use that for men's ministry as our logo going forward. So when you see this, you know, stand back, women, men are at work. Whatever that's going to look like. This is our Father's Day service today, and the topic, the question that we're asking is who your father from this passage in John's Gospel. And for men, maybe even women, of a certain age, there is no way that you can hear this question without hearing the faint echoes of an answer from the TV. Luke, I am your father. 1980, Empire Strikes Back, the second movie in the trilogy, which is now episode 5. How they manage that, it just sometimes baffles me. There's lots of these ones, but it was quite a revelation for the young Skywalker. Faced with the enemy of enemies, Darth Vader, and this was his father. He was not happy. He was appalled. No, he cries. The question we're asking today is, who is truly your father? We trust you'll have some revelations today about the answer to that question. Some of you may not be happy with the revelation that you receive today whenever we look at who is really your father. Some of you will be happy, but there's absolutely no reason why we all can't leave this place today knowing who your father really is. And we use this question quite a lot, don't we? I'm sure a lot of you in this room have either even used this question or have had this question asked to you whenever you've been introduced to somebody. Hello, I am Neil Stewart. Hello, Neil Stewart. Who's your dad? You want to know who their father is, try and find out who this person is. You don't know them, but you might know the relative that goes before them. Our identities are linked through the male descendants. And when you go on to the census, birth, baptism, marriage records, these things all sort of reflect that whenever they get married, they keep the man's name. I'm just looking around to see if there's any other woman going, that's right, I changed my name, I had to learn a new signature, and all of those things. Quite often, and for most of the country, maybe not as widespread as it is in this part of the world, that when the man goes and finds a woman and he marries the woman comes to live near where he lives, but on the peninsula, you didn't travel too far, so that doesn't really matter. You all sort of stay on the peninsula, most of you. Maybe across a village or a few fields. But ancestry is big business. We all want to know where we come from. There's TV programs about it. People are now going online. People email us all the time, regularly, looking for, oh, my great-great-great-grandfather was married here or was baptized here. And we go and look at the historical records from hundreds of years ago and we photocopy them and we send them off to people. You can now go onto the internet and find internet web-based programs for pumping all your family details into building your family tree. But ancestry is not a new phenomenon. Ancestry is something that we find here in John chapter 8. The Jews knew exactly who they were. They knew who their ancestors were. Their ancestry was linked to national pride. But as we will see, as we read through the passage, Jesus wants to get through all of that. He wants to get past all of this national identity, all of the labels that these people put on themselves. And hopefully today, we'll get past all the labels that we put on ourselves, so that we can see directly to God, to see God. Chapter 8 of John's Gospel, there's a real debate going on, and the tension is building as this debate goes on. It's in and around the temple. It started outside the temple, moved inside the temple. The teachers and the Pharisees, they're there. They're trying to catch Jesus out. They're asking him trick questions, but Jesus has the upper hand. It starts off with a woman caught in adultery. They're about to stone this woman to death. And Jesus points out to them all, well, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So they realize none of them can throw a stone, so they all put their stones down and walk away. Jesus is telling them, you're all sinners. Then the validity of Jesus' testimony is questioned. You needed witnesses in these days. Jesus calls him the greatest witness of all. Yahweh, the Father. The Father is his witness. The Jews throughout this passage and the verses before have been putting pressure on Jesus, trying to apply pressure on Jesus. But now Jesus is turning the tide. He is putting the pressure back on the Jews. You might want to open to chapter 8 and verse 31. We're going to look down sort of verse by verse as we try to unpack and reveal this, put ourselves in this situation to see what was actually happening. Verse 31 says, the Jews who had believed him. Now, we've got to be careful about the exact nature of this verse. This is not talking about people who believed in Jesus. These are people who believed that Jesus was doing great things. They believed there was a Messiah, and they believed that this Jesus could be the Messiah, but they had not put their trust in him. And Jesus clarifies that by saying that if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. So in that little statement, Jesus is saying, you're not really my disciples. You're following around. You're listening to the teaching. But you're not all in. You're not all signed up. Jesus then tells them in verse 32 that if they were really his disciples, that they would know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth is mentioned 8 times in this passage. Truth is a major theme in this passage. And we'll come to it in a few verses time again, and we'll look at it towards the end. But it's interesting at this point in the discussion that the truth is not what they're interested in. It's this mention of their freedom. The truth will set you free. They call on their ancestry at this point, verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? 2 things going on here in this verse. There's arrogance and outrage. Arrogance. We are Abraham's descendants. I'll tell you something. Oh. The chests would have been out. The shoulders would have been spread. All they would have needed was 2 carpets and they would have been away. Then they're cross. They're pointing their fingers back. Who are you? Who are you to tell me? This is where this conversation has gone. This is how the tension is rising. The truth is they have never been under slavery the way that Abraham and some of the older generations were enslaved or taken captive. But they sort of forgot the fact that they're living under the Roman Empire, in the Roman Empire. Yes, they have freedom to worship and do what they want to do, but it's only when the Romans say they can do it. Such arrogance. But what Jesus tells them in verse 35, he really tries to get at the heart of the matter. I tell you the truth, Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. See, Jesus here is not talking about national slavery or being in some sort of personal bondage. It is slavery to sin. He's already told them, you are all sinners. Not one of you could throw a stone at that woman. You're all sinners, and you are enslaved to that sin. Jesus is also putting the pressure on their thoughts that just because they were Abraham's descendants, they were going to share in the glorious inheritance. They were hanging on to the name. Jesus is breaking through any thoughts of automatic inheritance. 35. Now, a slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. You have no place in this family, Jesus tells him. No permanent place in the family. And then he says that lovely verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. A little snapshot of the gospel in this verse. If the Son sets you free from sin, then you are free indeed. You are free entirely. You are free eternally when the Son sets you free from sin. And Jesus is the Son, and it is only the Son that makes freedom possible. If you turn back to John chapter 1, right at the very start of the gospel, the first 18 verses of John's gospel serves as an index, as a menu, to all that's going to go on in the rest of the gospel. And it's written in a particular structure. If you think the first people who read these letters, there was only a few people who read them, and they read them to everyone else. So the people had to memorize these verses and these passages. They didn't have Bibles or scrolls, most ordinary people. So they read them with certain little tricks to teach them to remember things. So a chiastic structure is a structure to help you remember. So starting in verse 1, there's a point to be made. And those verses work all the way through. And there's new points to be made till you get to the top of the chiastic mountain, we'll call it. And the point at the top is verse 12, and we'll get to it. Then what happens from the point, the top of the mountain, all the way back down again, all those points that were made on the way up are reflected on the way down. The point of this gospel we find in verse 12. But we'll read verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, or of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So the point of this gospel is that Jesus is the only one who gives you the right to be called a child of God. He came, verse 11, it says, he came to those who were his own. Jesus was a Jew. He was Abraham's descendant. But they didn't receive him. The earthly relationships didn't work. So Jesus then tells us in verse 13, it's not about natural descent. It's not about the will of a father on earth or a mother will have a child. It's not about that. This is about the will of God sending Jesus, his son, to set us free. There's no other way. No other way to be set free from the bondage, slavery of sin. So Jesus has made this point to them. But I like what Jesus does next. He actually affirms the things that they've said that are true. Verses 37 down to 39, Jesus says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants. But he says, I've been telling you what I've seen with the Father. Jesus is saying, I've been telling you the truth. The word truth is not in that verse, but that's what Jesus is saying. I've been telling you the truth from the Father, and what are you doing? You're trying to kill me. Now, up to this point, I'm going to use a boxing illustration. Up to this point, Jesus has been jabbing them. He's been jabbing them, and he's been jabbing them, and their temper is up, and he's jabbing them. And then in this next verse, what Jesus does, he gives them a good right hook. Because in the verse, he says, you are doing what your father tells you. So Jesus brings, with this right hook, a new character into the discussion. So they know what Jesus is saying. They know that there's that he's taking them away from their ancestry. And then they say to him, Abraham is our father. This in verse 39 was I could just imagine them spitting as they're saying this. Abraham is our father, they answered. And before they can get too carried away with themselves, Jesus just, he maybe interrupts a wee bit. If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. They were not doing the things that Abraham did. Now, if you notice, there's a slight difference there. They said, we are, Jesus said, yes, you are Abraham's descendants. That's a fact. They are Jews. They are descendants of Abraham. But they're not Abraham's children. Jesus is breaking through the nationality. If they were children of Abraham, then they would be like Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, pack up your things, take your wife and your nephew, and go away. Go that way there. Where am I going? I'm not telling you. I'll go anyway. He headed off. He didn't know where he was going, but God told him to go, so Abraham obeyed and went. Whenever Abraham was given the great promise that he was going to have a family as numerous as the stars in the sky, he was an old man, his wife was old, past childbearing years. Whenever the first son was delivered, then God said to him, take him up a mountain and sacrifice him. What did Abraham do? He loaded a donkey, he got wood, he piled the whole thing on, and he took his son right up to the point where he was ready to perform that sacrificial act, and God intervened. God was checking his obedience. Abraham was obedient. Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness, we're told. Genesis 15, verse 6. A very important verse because Paul uses it twice. Romans 4, Galatians 3. James uses it in chapter 2. They are not like Abraham. They are determined to kill Jesus. That's what Jesus says. You are determined to kill me. They've been trying to do that since chapter 5. And then whenever Jesus has now given them this right hook, he gives them, I would suppose, a left uppercut. Because he says, your own father. So it's not just your father anymore. It's your own father. This word own drives a wedge right in to this thought process of these Jews, these unbelieving Jews. Jesus has ripped them apart from their national identity. And they protest, we are not illegitimate. But they cannot answer the accusation. So then they take it up a step. God himself is our Father. And now Jesus has them on the ropes. Because their national identity has now been broken down. They are now fixed on God. It's not about Abraham anymore. It's about God. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, then you would love me. You would not be trying to kill me. God is not your father. And he makes it very clear to them in verse 44, he is. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. See, Jesus has been teaching who he is. And right back in chapter 5, the plot to kill Jesus began because Jesus claimed equality with God, with Yahweh, with the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In chapter 8, in this very interaction with these Jews, he has said, I am the light of the world. Now, this formula that Jesus was using was the formula that Moses was given by God when he was looking at the burning bush. And he was saying, God said to Moses, go and speak to the Egyptians. And who will I say is sending me? God says, I am who I am. Tell them I am is sending you. Jesus uses this exact same formula. Jesus would go on to teach them in the upper room, trust in God, trust also in me. Trust both of us the same. Because in John 10, he has told them, I and the Father are one. One. But these listeners aren't getting it. These Jews aren't getting it. They're refusing to get it. And we're told why in verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Now the word that's used for hearing, hear in this passage doesn't mean that they can't hear the words. They're hearing the words, but they're not heeding the words. They're not obeying the words. They're refusing the truth. They're refusing it. They're not obeying it. They're not heeding it because the devil is their father. They're carrying out his desires. His native language is lies. There was a guy I did business with before I came to Grey Abbey, before I became minister. And there was a saying about him. How did you know such and such was lying? His lips were moving. You couldn't believe a word that came out of his mouth. That's Satan, the father of lies. And Jesus tells him in verse 45, I am telling you the truth. Everything I have told you is the truth. He says it twice, and he says, you don't believe me. He reaffirms that they're not believing him. Can you prove me guilty, Jesus says. No, they can't prove him guilty. They could not catch Jesus out. They could not outsmart Jesus. They could not trip Jesus up. Because Jesus didn't only teach the truth. He was the truth. He lived the truth. He came, John tells us in chapter 1, verse 18, full of grace and truth in equal measure. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus says he was. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. Jesus has set this truth out, and he sums up in verse 47, putting people into two categories. There are people who belong to God. He who belongs to God hears what God says. Not just hearing it, but heeding it and obeying it, obeying that truth. Jesus already said in verse 31, if you obey my teaching, you are really my disciple. The truth of this sets you free, and the Son sets you free indeed. Do you belong to God? Do you believe what Jesus says when he says he is one with the Father and with the Spirit? That he is the one that sets you free from sin and death? Do you believe John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Do you believe chapter 1 verse 12 that Jesus is the one who gives you the right to become a child of God? That truth in 1:12, the whole purpose of the gospel, John affirms that at the end of the gospel in chapter 20:31. The whole gospel was written so that you could believe and have life in his name, eternal life in his name. Do you believe from John 19, verse 30, when Jesus hung on that cross and said, it is finished, that was a finished work for you? Do you believe that he hung there for you? Do you believe that if you had been standing where Mary was standing the day after, the next day, when the tomb was empty, and Jesus says these words to her, I am returning to my Father and your Father. Do you believe that if you had been standing where Mary was standing, that Jesus would have said that to you because he knows that you believe in him? In him, not about him. Believe in him. If you truly believe the claims of Jesus, if you're seeking to live in obedience to all that he says, then you are God's child. He is your Father. God is your Father. But if you don't believe that, then you don't belong to God. Jesus makes that clear. The reasons you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Are you here this morning? Are you believing the lies of the liar, your father, the devil? Maybe he's telling you there is no God. Sure, you only live and then you die and that's it. But Satan's usually more subtle than that. He will tell you there is a heaven and there is a hell. Oh, they're real places, but you're good enough to get there. You can do it by yourself. Sure, you're a good Northern Ireland prod. Sure, all good Northern Ireland prods go to heaven, don't they? Sure, you're an old granny there. She prayed for you. Them prayers will get you into heaven. Sure, you're a good Presbyterian. Maybe you're born and reared in the gospel hall. Maybe you're a Free Presbyterian or a Baptist. Your Baptist beliefs will get you to heaven. Maybe you're living under the lie that you're not good enough. your sins are unforgivable. Maybe you're living with the lie that, well, sure, if you get saved anyway, you're that bad, you couldn't keep it. What sort of Christian would you be? I want you to hear the truth this morning. The truth is heaven and hell are real. But only Jesus is good enough for you to be there, for you to get there. I want to cut through all the labels that you may be hiding behind or living under or holding on to. Focus on God and God alone. Because no sin is unforgivable. The blood of Christ is able to wash your sins away. And even for those of us in this room who have had our sins washed away, we still get things wrong. But when God looks down on us, he doesn't see us with all of our failings, with all of our imperfections and faults. He sees Jesus. When he looks down at me, he sees Jesus. And to that I say, hallelujah. Because me on my own, I am nothing. I am what we sang about. I'm a filthy wretch. We're all filthy wretches. But what God does, he wraps us up in the all-sufficient righteousness of Jesus Christ for all eternity. The day you called his name, he made you flawless. So whenever you turn to Jesus, whenever you believe in Jesus, you are flawless. If the Son sets you are free indeed. But only if the Son sets you free. If that's your truth, then God is your Father this morning. Luke Skywalker was appalled by the truth of who his Father really was. If this is not your truth, this answer, the other answer should appall you. But this can be your truth. This can be everyone's answer by turning to Jesus. It is one of the simplest things that you can do. If this is not your truth, sort out your ancestry today. There's no need to go home and get on the internet to get a program downloaded, to search any documents. The only document you have to look at is this one here. Go home and just read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if this is your truth, go home today and celebrate Father's Day, but let's celebrate the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, has a place ready for us for all eternity, for all who would call on his name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of who you are, for this, the word that we have. And we pray, Lord, that you would be speaking to us words that each of us need to hear today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue now to worship God as we give of our tithes and our offerings. So your offering will now be received. Lord God, we thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you today. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us, Lord, to live for you. And Lord, even though the world around us may be closing in on us, we know that we are safe and secure. Help us, Lord, to continue to worship you in various ways and to give of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, recognizing you've blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to give back to you. So Lord, take our offerings, bless it according to your will, Lord, and use it for your purposes. For we ask these things In Jesus' name, amen.
We will just have a time now for praying for others. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another lovely day, a time of rest and a time where we can spend time with our families. We thank you for this world that we live in and how perfect you made it at creation. We thank you how in Genesis you made plants with amazing medicinal properties to benefit to us and to heal us. We know it is not the plants that are bad, but the misuse of them. And we do thank you for the life of Billy Caldwell, who has been in the news this week. And we do pray for everybody else suffering in cases like this, that medication can be available and received safely for them. We pray for our country and our government that devolution can be restored. We pray especially for the abortion policies, which so many are eager to change. We pray that with love, the church can stand up in this time for those who are alive but not yet born. We pray that out of convenience, no doctors will have to be forced to destroy your work knitting children together in the womb. In all of our lives, there are so many challenges, fears, and people needing prayer. We will just take a time, a few minutes now, where we can pray. Just a time of stillness for personal prayer. We thank you that you hear all our prayers, Lord. On a day where we remember our fathers, we thank you for them. We pray for the families today where the fathers are missing, through work or serving overseas or any other circumstances. We pray that the families will feel the presence of their Heavenly Father today even stronger. On a day where the church is decorated with lots of different things, we pray that you will speak to people passing by on the street, that a seed or a smile will be planted, and that they will see the church is alive, interesting, and relevant. As Neil was speaking about at the start of the service, Lord, we do pray for just the church and how it is perceived. We pray that the LGBT community will feel really welcome, and we pray that the church can grow in relationship with them. On Father's Day, Lord, we lift up our praise to the greatest Father of all, that you would give your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Josh, for those prayers for others. Just like to remind everybody at the end of the service too, there's tea and coffee round in solid ground. And do take time to look around a lot of the cars and the motorbikes, especially sitting here up along the side. The guys have went through a lot of bother bringing them stuff, so spend a bit of time and have a good look around them. But as we bring our special service to a close, let us join together and lift our voices for everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our home, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Close with a prayer of benediction. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us and ask now as we leave this place that we would know the blessing of God, Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that that blessing would rest and remain on each of us from now until evermore. Amen.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, doing right to doing wrong, cause we're taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking that's worth it what you do.
Like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the the cross has made you flawless.
Could it possibly be? We simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. Well, that's exactly what he did.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made
right now, I'm okay, because the cross was enough.
And like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late.
Oh, let me introduce you to grace, grace,
God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still has made, the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is, the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless. They say, or what you think you are, the day you call his name, he made you flawless, he made you flawless. No matter what they say, or what you think you are, the day you call his name, he made you flawless. No matter the scars, still the truth is, the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.